Hello and welcome to Carefully Considered, the podcast about caring, the issues unpaid carers face and how we solve them. I'm Katie, an unpaid carer and the founder of We Care Campaign, a grassroots organisation empowering unpaid carers to feel visible and valued.
And I'm Laura, also an unpaid carer, and we're here to inform and hopefully entertain you. Each episode, we'll be talking to an expert to get their views and see what we can all do to get the change millions of carers across the UK need. Right, well, this is a bit exciting, Katie. This is our first bonus episode.
In this bonus episode, we're speaking to Lisa Reeks, a parent carer who took part in the first study of its kind into parent carers and the struggles they face.
In our previous episode, When Love Is Not Enough, we spoke to the wonderful Dr. Siobhan O'Dwyer, who led the research which uncovered shocking stats around suicidal thoughts of parent carers. So we thought we should speak to a parent carer to dive even deeper into this issue.
Welcome, Lisa. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Shall we start with the basics then? I don't know if parent carers get to go to many dinner parties, probably not, but how would you introduce yourself to a hypothetical stranger at a hypothetical dinner party?
So I would say I'm very much an introvert. I like to spend a lot of time on my own, but I am friendly and I'm very much a creative at heart.
Could you share with us a little bit about your caring journey, how it started?
Yeah, I can do. Okay, so my daughter is now 19. She's almost 20, and when she was two, she became very ill, and we went to a local hospital, and within a very, very short space of time, she was very, very ill. And as part of that illness, she had a stroke. So that is sort of what we're now living with, the consequences of her having a stroke, which was life-changing for both of us. Yeah, there's no other way that I could describe that. Our lives completely changed. I was probably entirely unprepared for that situation. It wasn't really quite what I had imagined my sort of parenting journey to include, that's for sure. And I was probably fairly traumatised from that experience. There was a moment where I thought we were going to lose her, so it was that serious. But as soon as we were discharged from hospital, which was sort of 7-ish, 8 weeks later, I was very surprised. I thought I would have received more support, but we were then in the process of the physio would come round once every 6 weeks and sort of describe to me what physio I was to deliver daily. The same for the OT. I wasn't prepared for that. So my role as parent then moved into, you know, I was a carer, I was a therapist, and that has just exponentially increased over the years. I had a lot of health, well, I wouldn't say a lot of health difficulties, but my nervous system from that initial trauma, my hands were continually shaking, I had headaches all the time. That was a really big thing that I had to overcome. Trying to manage my reaction to that very sudden and extreme event, and whilst also the day-to-day management of my daughter's care. It was really difficult. Over the years, I've felt so much grief. Yeah, that's recurrent, and that comes up, and it rises, it falls, it rises, it falls. That's continual. We've had an interesting journey with education. We've been through tribunal twice to get my daughter into a special educational environment in its secondary school, and then second to keep her there for college, but she's starting university this Thursday, so we've got somewhere. So it's amazing.
Well, congratulations on your daughter for getting into university. I bet that's going
Thank
to be
you.
An interesting time, and congrats to you and just for your unbelievable resilience. And I think just that little, I guess, description of what you've been through, I guess, validates why Siobhan did this research, because just hearing you
absolutely
describe your utter fight to get the care that your daughter needs it's heartbreaking every time I hear it, and it makes me so angry every time. Can you tell us a little bit how you became part of that research and why you decided to get involved?
Absolutely, yes. So I became involved with an amazing charity called Cerebra. And through them, I heard about the Exeter Family Faculty. So that is a group of parent carers who sort of signed up to be available for being involved in research that the Exeter University are undertaking. So we'd normally get sent an email saying these are the different projects that are happening, these are the ways you can get involved. And Siobhan's popped up. So it started with an initial conversation. I remember I was at my allotment, actually, in my polytunnel. She called me and sort of had this really informal conversation. And Siobhan's amazing. She's very professional, but she's very personable. She's very informal. And that's the type of person that I tend to resonate with. So I had this conversation about, you know, my caring journey. She was talking about the research that she was thinking of exploring. And what was very unique about this particular project is there were four parent carers, including me, involved in this particular research. And we were involved right from the start. So we helped actually shape the project. I've been involved in other research projects, and normally you come in at a later stage. The researchers have all decided that, you know, don't get me wrong, they may have done their due diligence, they've done their research into that project, but you normally come in quite a bit later. So I've been on some committees and you're overseeing a certain part or element of the project. With Siobhan's project, we were there from the start and we will be there till the end. So, and we've had a lot more input, a lot more regular meetings, which has been really helped to keep us engaged. All the team is normally there, but also when we were paid, which I think is really very important for our time, and we were treated by the whole team as absolute equals. I'm not saying that doesn't happen on other research projects, but that really came through with every single member of the team. So to be involved from the start was very unique. So I think that's why we're all so invested with, and the subject is so important.
Moving on to that very sensitive subject matter, which is parent carers and their suicidal thoughts, The study uncovered some really shocking statistics around the levels of suicidal thoughts that parent carers faced. And so did you have any reservations looking back about taking part, or were you sort of won over by the approach?
I didn't have any reservations personally. I felt it was such an important subject, and although I could not have anticipated what the actual results would have been, obviously that was back in sort of 2019 that I had that conversation, I think, with Siobhan. It was a long time ago. None of us could have anticipated the levels, but it was such an important study, and I felt I've had some really dark moments, and I think I'd be naive to think that I'd be the only person in the world in that position who felt that way. So I really thought it's so important to highlight this area and obviously try to get people more support.
So you talked us through a little bit of your role within the project, which I think is really important, because I think it's quantitative and also qualitative to get parent carers who are in the situation to sort of, I guess, almost validate the results or give your thoughts on the results. Did you yourself learn anything from the project? Did anything surprise you, or did you take away any different perspectives from the project?
I think all of us learned a lot. I absolutely did. Again, seeing that project all the way through from the start to the finish, actually helping shape the questionnaire, even some of the questions that went in, that was really incredible. We were involved in any at stages, if there was any particular training that was taking place, we were that was available to us. So even if it wasn't directly relevant to us, so we had some safeguarding training, so we were really skilled up during this project, and like I say, it was because we were so valued. And now we're at the dissemination stage, and I've never really been at this sort of stage with a project. So yes, I'm going to be learning from now on how that, you know, helping shape that and learning how that happens.
We've talked about the research, and it's actually shown up that 42% of parent carers experience suicidal thoughts while caring, and we listened to Siobhan explain in the podcast, you know, how that number shocked her, and she had to run those stats, you know, once and then twice. Did the findings surprise you? And what do you think about the overall results?
Yeah, I actually wasn't surprised at all, and I think that was common. That was a sort of common feeling. It is surprising in a way, but it is also when you relate it to your own experience. And, you know, I think about some of the struggles I've had as a parent carer. You come into contact with all the statutory services, so not just care, but health and education, and those are amazing systems in certain ways, but they're also very limited. And if you don't sort of fit the box rather, it's that's what you're up against. And to have three statutory services in front of you that you could potentially be sort of trying to get somewhere, make headway for your young person, and that young person might be suffering whilst that's happening, it's really difficult. And that's why I think so many parent carers are struggling. Obviously, I'm relating that to my own experience, because that's the only experience I have personally. But hearing and the project there was a quantitative side of it, but there's also the qualitative. And we were lucky enough to have some of those stories related to us. Obviously, they were anonymized, but I just identified with every single person. It was like hearing my story, but through slightly different wording.
I think there's something there, isn't there, about that shared experience. So understanding that you're not the only one, and that this is really common. But also, from any carer's point of view, when we look at those statistics, we're not shocked either, because, that's daily life for you, for others, in ways that we all understand. So
absolutely.
Was it a little bit cathartic to get those, or was it cathartic to read people's experiences that you could relate to?
I guess it's validating, you know, you're hearing that other people, and it is painful to listen, it is really upsetting. You're reading, you know, you're reading about people's struggles, and that is very upsetting. But also, you're reading it with that understanding of, oh yes. You know, you're hearing, you know, the words, and you understand them deeply, because they are your experience as well.
One of the many shocking things that was uncovered was that parent carers carry an underlying connotation of their child's disability being the parent's fault, and something akin there to bad parenting in some ways. And why do you think that is?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it has been suggested to me in the past to go on a parenting course. So I absolutely understand that. I think if I think about historically how families who have a disabled child within them have been treated, I mean, even my growing up, I don't remember seeing very many disabled people around. There could be many reasons for that. Perhaps there were less, because more people are surviving. But I think there was historically a sort of sense of shame and embarrassment, perhaps, when you go out. And I wonder whether that's sort of carried through sort of subtly, almost in our DNA. Personally, it's not something I feel. I don't go out with my daughter and feel embarrassed or anything. We are in a little bubble, and we are normal. Of course we're normal. That's, however, and I've learned to sort of shut off from the people who stare at us. And, you know, there are, you know, we get stared at quite a lot, and I've managed to just sort of blinker it off and just pretend it doesn't happen. That's the way I cope. It's not pleasant. I wonder whether it is just almost like a historical that sort of come through, and perhaps as well because of my particular entry into being a parent carer, that my daughter had this illness from sort of we don't know where. As a parent carer through this process, I can see how the statutory services, because they haven't got the capacity to support you, the responsibility is put on you as a parent carer. And I wonder whether that sinks quite deep, that, you know, I'm carrying this responsibility. Oh, you know, so I wonder whether there's that element to it, if that was clear.
I think what you've just mentioned there around sort of people staring at you or the fact that you're in a bubble. I wonder what you would like parents to know about what it's like being a parent carer.
Yeah, I think when I was younger, my sister's a 12, there's a 12 year gap between us, and I did actually look after her a fair bit when she was young. So I have some experience. I didn't give birth to her, but I did do quite a lot of the child rearing. So I had that comparison, I guess. So I would say there's just an awful lot more responsibility, which you almost can't sort of conceptualize until you're in this situation. It's a bit like before I was a parent, it's hard to understand what it's like to be a parent. And when you're a parent, it's a little bit hard to understand what it's like to be a parent carer. I think there's sort of that extra level of responsibility. I think because you're involved in a lot more medical interventions, whether that's therapy or medication, or I think that's an extra level of responsibility that that you, again, is quite hard to understand. It's a big responsibility. You know, my daughter has epilepsy, so if I forget her medication, and she has had a full tonic-clonic seizure before, and you know, it feels such a big weight, that weight of responsibility, because if you mess up, it could be really serious. So I think it's that, and it's that extended, that high intensity input you're putting in continually is relentless. Being a parent is really challenging on a lot of levels. Being a parent carer is just like another level. And for me personally, you know, I witness my daughter in pain quite a lot, and as a parent, that's one of the hardest things to see. I mean, when she was first in hospital, I saw her in pain, and I would have done anything to take that away. It's not my role. I couldn't do that. But I don't think I'll ever forget, you know, and now I still touch on that. If she's in pain now, it's incredibly uncomfortable. It's almost unbearable, but I have to become comfortable with the uncomfortable in a sense, continually on a regular basis. It's incredibly intense.
What is your ultimate aim for the research? You know, what do you hope is going to happen with it, Lisa?
Yeah, my personal one is to change policy, to have this, hopefully this project have such an impact that MPs start taking notice, and you know, that does filter through to changing policy, so that the parent carers coming through are better supported with resources and services that suit them. Obviously, to raise the profile of parent caring, and you know, this is one way of doing it, so thank you so much, it's amazing. But also to support frontline workers who, you know, to be better able to look out or maybe identify a parent carer that was struggling. And that can be quite difficult, because I think a lot of parent carers, and you know, I've been in that situation before, where you put on a brave face, you know, because it's very hard to admit that you're struggling. It's a bit like saying, I can't cope parenting my child. It's very hard to say. But unless you do say, and actually perhaps it's hard to separate as a parent carer, the parenting from the caring, which bit is it that you're struggling with? It's probably not the parenting of your child, and you love your child. I think Siobhan touched on this tension between two things. It's easy to think that you don't love your child, or someone's going to judge you for not loving your child. And that's beyond question. Of course you love your child. You love your child beyond anything else, but it's perhaps these other aspects, it's the situation around your child that could maybe be the challenge.
Given that, you know, you want to change policy, etc., it's good that you're speaking to Katie, because she's like a campaigning powerhouse, so hopefully she can give you some tips. Before we sort of ask you what's next with this project, I just wanted to ask you just a question that sprung to mind, really, on wanting to change policy and get this up the agenda and get people talking about it. Have you felt that this research and this work, this campaigning work, has helped you channel some of your anger, your stress, your frustration into something?
Absolutely. I think it's really good to have a channel. I practice yoga, and for me, that's me connecting to a bigger thing, trying to see a bigger picture. Also, yes, having a channel like you say, that makes you feel like you're being productive. I'm a natural problem solver. I can't help myself than be in a situation and think, right, this could be so much better. We need to do this, this and this. So for me to feel like that's what I'm helping to foster, yes, that does absolutely help. Yeah.
Yeah, wish you all the best with the campaigning and the policy changing. And if we can help you, just let us know. We'll be there.
Thank you so much.
So what's next for the project? What's the next big thing that's coming up?
Yes, well, this is rather exciting. We're all of the four parent carers and Siobhan, we're going up to, in October, we're going up to London and we have got some sort of, we're briefing some MPs in Parliament. So that was something I could not have anticipated. And that's a real honour. And it shows that there is interest. And yeah, that's really exciting.
We'll have to have you back on when there's some movement, etc., on the policy front. Because I think it's an important, well, it's just hugely important, and it's just unbelievable that this research was the first of its kind in the UK. It's just the whole thing
is
just
phenomenal,
maddening. So I think we wish you all the best, and please let us know how it
Thank
goes.
You.
And we could talk to you for hours, but this is a bonus episode, so we have to keep it relatively short. But thank you so much for taking the time that I know you don't have to speak with us today.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much to everyone for listening. Please follow, rate and subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts.
We'd love to hear from you, whether it's questions, guest suggestions or anything else. Please email us at wearecarers, which is all one word, at gmail.com. Until next time.
Until next time.